Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcast, live from my chair in the living room at the broadcast bunker. This is usually where I sit and watch my distracting and sleep-inducing favorite TV shows. But tonight, in a late-night podcast, I want to talk about the Republicans and the current crisis with the resignation or withdrawal of Kevin McCarthy from the main consideration for Speaker of the House and what it means for the Republicans and Republicans in general. So this is going to be a podcast that's kind of top of mind, free association, and about the political divisions in the Republican Party for you political junkies that I want to talk about for podcast 423. Well, if it was still warm out, I'd be out on the deck, but I just can't do that. It's just a little too cold to be out on the deck, and of course, it's going to get colder because winter is coming, as we all know, and so it's a great time to talk about Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul coming and checking out your heating systems before the winter that we know is coming finally comes. Now, we don't know when it's going to happen. It could happen any time between now and Thanksgiving, right? We've had years where we've had snowstorms on Halloween. We've had really cold temperatures in early November, and then we've had years where we lucked out and it was just beautiful weather all the way up until after Thanksgiving. But sooner or later, winter is going to come to Minneapolis and St. Paul. We know it will, and we know it's going to be a bitch because it is every year. So it's a great time right now to get your heating checked by Ryan Plumbing and Heating to make it more efficient. How do they do that? Well, these days, it's all about integrating smart tech to make your heating system more efficient. I'm just going to tell you flat out, it's not cheap, but it's a huge investment in terms of saving you money over the next few years. And if you haven't had your heating upgraded in some way, shape, or form in the last 5 years, Ryan can upgrade you and save you a lot of money month to month during the mini ice age we call winter in the upper Midwest, especially if it is a really, really cold winter. So here's what you do. Call Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go metro-wide from St. Paul. That means the suburbs too, so you see their trucks all over the place. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. And by the way, if you own a business, this is, you know, definitely goes for you in terms of business, because upgrading to smart tech with the heating system in your business may make a huge difference as well. Ryan Plumbing and Heating on University Avenue in St. Paul, just west of the state capitol where they've always been. St. Paul, you call 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Metro wide from St. Paul for over 60 years, Ryan Plumbing and Heating. And thanks, Greg Ryan, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. So this is a day when Kevin McCarthy announced in Washington at the Capitol in the one of the big, you know, hearing rooms, the big one, the one you see, the most dramatic one, that he would be no longer be a candidate for Speaker of the House of the House of Representatives. And it's very interesting. I was just reading coverage, whether it's the New York Times or Bloomberg or whatever source you read. It's kind of a sad commentary on the state of Republican leadership and Republican affairs and Republican politics. And I think it's been a long time coming. And I don't have any notes, so when I don't have notes about something like this, I'm sort of playing without a net. And I mean, I've done that before. I have the stories over there, but I'm not going to get up and go in the kitchen and get them because I don't want to detract from, you know, the discussion of this. Because when you see the candidacy of Donald Trump, and when you see this kind of a breakup in the House leadership, where they can't agree on a speaker or a speaker candidate because 40 insurgent Republicans who, you know, would, for lack of a better term, and I don't even like using this term, but for lack of a better term, are, quote, Tea Party Republicans, don't want a moderate speaker again. So they felt that Kevin McCarthy would be too close to a a moderate Boehner, and they didn't want him. I think the main reason that McCarthy, sort of saw his support collapse was because of the comments he made about the Benghazi hearings, in which he basically said that they were designed to hurt the Hillary Clinton campaign for president. And whether or not that was the intent, it was certainly the effect, which doesn't bother me in the least. I mean, it's politics as usual. I don't see any problem with having hearings to hurt the candidacy of the opposing party, personally. And today, McCarthy reiterated that, no, the hearing was really about the four people who were killed there and their families and finding out and getting to the bottom of what was happening and so forth. So what is really going on with Republicans? Here's the thing that's going on that I think, and I think this is one of the things that's going on, and it needs to be pointed out very, strongly. And that is that the Republican Party is controlled by something called a moderate. The Minnesota Republican Party is controlled by moderates. Moderate Republicans are people who generally are against abortion. They take all the right stances on moral issues, but they're willing to compromise on financial issues. They're willing to compromise on liberty issues. They're willing to compromise with Democrats. They have been characterized as always being on the defensive, and they won't have the fight that Tea Party Republicans, let's say, and some people, even those people on the libertarian side of things, really want to see this fight between principled, freedom-supporting Republicans, the Freedom Caucus Republicans, and the Democrats. But the moderates are consistently in the way. Now, I've argued for the ouster of the moderates for a long time. I have never felt that the moderates were the people that should be running the Republican Party, because I've always felt that the Republican Party is infused with new energy from the libertarian side ever since Reagan, ever since Goldwater. This group of people, the libertarians, the anarchist type, the Murray Rothbard types, have always been there to infuse the Republican Party with new blood and new thinking on freedom issues, which are basically limited government. And what's happened is, in the years since Reagan, and really you saw it with the Bush administration, you saw a different kind of Republican emerge, and this is really this is what we call a big government conservative. This is a person who's interested in maintaining power because they feel they will be better stewards of the power than Democrats, because they're just going to be better at running the big government. And ever since Obamacare, the emergence of the Tea Party, people who believe in the strict interpretation of the Constitution, although I think that's kind of confusing, and they are, strongly against Republican moderates who seem to want to make deals at the last minute with Republicans, whether it's on trade protection or the budget or things like that. And the latest issue that's really animated both the Liberty people as well as the religious right is the Planned Parenthood videos. And, I think the issue with the Christian right, of course, is that it's the horrors of abortion. And with the Liberty group, it's why is the federal government paying for anything like this? Why are we allowing the government to pay for this at all? So both of these things have really roiled the waters lately. But I would go further, and I would suggest that the moderate presidential candidates really are not doing very well at all in this particular election cycle so far. And you heard me talk about the polls. It's just interesting to me that Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio and, the Paul Ryan-esque, John Boehner-esque Republicans don't seem to be getting much traction. And what's happening is it's the Donald Trumps of the world who seem to be getting the traction. Now, I'm not under any illusion that Donald Trump is a conservative. If you actually look at his positions on trade and you look at his positions on taxation and you look at his positions on, you know, some of these other issues that he has. He's really not a conservative. He certainly isn't an evangelical conservative, but he's willing to have the fight. And so it's very interesting to watch how the Republican Party, which I believe, and I've said before, I think the moderates in the Republican Party thought, we're going to have a bunch of candidates, we're going to have the Rubios and the Kasiches of the world and the Jeb Bushes of the world, and we're going to have a nice civilized debate, and people are going to say, gee, those Republicans sure are moderated in their views, and then there would be a very, you know, simple coronation of Jeb Bush, who would be this year's Mitt Romney, and all would be well. They didn't count on Trump getting into the race to begin with, and I don't think that they counted on Trump actually getting traction with people who are just frustrated and angry and furious with the current state of affairs in Washington, with the Democrats basically still running things, even though they don't have a majority in the House, and with the president's, in the view of Republicans, overreach and executive power, and, you know, all these other things that have been going on. And I think they're probably, I think the Republican moderates seem to me to be very confused and surprised by the apparent strength of an insurgent movement, whether it's Donald Trump. And I don't think Donald Trump is a populist. I refuse to use that term to describe this. I wouldn't call this a populist insurgency. You know, I would call it an insurgency that differs drastically from the Republican establishment rank and file. Here's the problem with all of it. Right now, this is largely a rhetorical, angry face. And I'm not sure that this is a face that can lead. I'm not sure that this is a face that will be able to elect a speaker. They can certainly prevent a speaker from being nominated. I thought it was really amusing tonight that the best thing that Sean Hannity could come up with was, you know, talking to Newt Gingrich about it and wondering if he would actually be a candidate for speaker, since the speaker doesn't, suddenly everyone's enamored of this idea that the speaker doesn't have to be a sitting congressman, which is true. But, you know, Newt Gingrich is certainly no conservative by Tea Party values or by libertarian values. He's just another big government Republican. And what I think is missing out there is, you know, everybody wants a grassroots movement. They all think that this is a movement. Now, I don't have a list of the 40 congressmen who are Tea Party congressmen, but I would imagine they come from Republican plus 25 districts where, you know, in other words, strong Republican districts where they can be safe. Tim Hulskamp is a good example from Kansas. You know, their districts are not, you know, people often refer to the 6th District in Minnesota as an extremely conservative district because, look, Michelle Bachmann was from the 6th District. But the 6th District isn't anywhere near as red, so to speak, as some of these districts in Texas and Oklahoma and Ohio and other places where these so-called Tea Party congressmen come from. And I look at this and I can tell you that the moderate leadership is breaking down. The moderates are soon to come to the end of their days in power. They bear no resemblance to Reagan, although they talk about Reagan all the time. They bear no resemblance to liberty values that may have animated Reagan-esque or Reagan-era congressmen and politicians like Ron Paul. You know, they're really nothing like that. And I think this indicates that they're coming to the end of their days as power. This is one of the reasons I think Paul Ryan wants nothing to do with the Republican speakership, you know, the House speakership, because he would have to preside over this, you know, slowly cracking and breaking iceberg of moderate leadership. The day will come also in Minnesota when the moderate leaders of the Minnesota Republican Party and the Republicans in the House of Representatives in the state of Minnesota will also lose their grip on power. But as far as leadership in terms of a new group of Republicans coming in to lead, that is another question entirely. Now, history demonstrates one of the paths to personal wealth is through property ownership. You've heard me talk about this many times before. Lots of people are renting while they are waiting to purchase their first home or move up to their next home. In the last 5 years or so, there's been many foreclosures and houses sitting empty for extended periods of time, and you have these houses that have been renovated by fly-by-night house flippers that aren't really in very good condition because they sat for a while and then they were renovated or not. And so to negotiate that risk, you need real estate professionals that understand the market. The other thing is interest rates are low and have been historically low and look like they're going to stay there for a while. So this is the time to take advantage of low interest rates if you're in the market for real estate or someone close to you is considering buying their first home. So pursuant to that, I want to introduce prideofhomes.com to listeners and subscribers to the Bob Davis podcast. Prideofhomes.com is a husband and wife licensed real estate agent team and real estate investors with expertise to share with you. So here's what you do. If you're interested, if you have a loved one that's looking for a house in the North Metro, take a moment to reach out and talk with Eric and Aram Lucero with Luke Team Real Estate and prideofhomes.com. As I said, they're in the North and Northwest Metro, so Maple Grove, Plymouth, Rogers, Dayton, Champlin, Albertville, St. Michael, Elk River, the whole North Metro corridor. For real estate experience, Eric and Aram Lucero with Luke Team Real Estate. Visit their website today at prideofhomes.com. Give them a call and take advantage of their expertise. 763-433-9100. 763-433-9100, prideofhomes.com. And thanks, guys, for sponsoring the Bob Davis podcasts. So I'm going to offer my critique of what I see as a problem with the Republican and the Tea Party groups. And before I do that, I just want to say a couple things. First of all, people say, well, and this is what you hear all the time from the moderates. If you criticize the moderate leadership of the Republicans, especially in the state of Minnesota, they respond really defensively as though they're hurt, and they say, why don't you ever criticize the Democrats? Well, you know, I criticize the Democrats a lot. I don't think the party differences, and I don't think the differences within the Democratic Party are as pronounced. There are certainly issues, groups like Black Lives Matter and the Bernie Sanders campaign, and I'm not saying those two are connected. I'm just saying, you know, there are divisions, and there are the similar kinds of divisions with Democrats as there are with Republicans, in the sense that you have, you know, progressives who are pretty far left, and you have so-called moderates. But I don't think that they're as pronounced in terms of disagreements as the disagreements with Republican moderates and the Freedom Caucus, because my experience has been that the moderates, you know, their claim is we can't get elected to office if we don't moderate. We have to reach across the aisle. You know, we have to convince Democrats that we're not ogres and that that we're willing to compromise and so forth and so on. Whereas there are other people in the party and other people in right-wing politics who believe that that whole edifice needs to be torn down and that what we have to have is a real fight between different philosophies. One is a philosophy of actually cutting down the size of government to the point where it is, the federal government in particular, is severely limited in its powers and its expenses. And that's going to require a sea change of incredible proportions nationwide. And they're really, these two groups don't see eye to eye at all. And in the Republican Party, if there's three factions, if the Libertarian faction is one faction, I don't mean Ron Paul people. I mean the sort of the limited government people, versus who are not religiously inclined, versus the moderates who just want to stay in power and be important, versus the religious Republicans. The fulcrum is then the evangelicals, the religious Republicans, who throw their support behind the moderates more often than not because the moderates give them what they want. The liberty people are in most cases not religiously motivated, although some of them are, you know, and this, by the way, is not to criticize either group. But when we get to this question of leadership, we really don't have the leaders. We really don't have standard bearers who are able to incorporate what the freedom people, the Freedom Caucus, the Liberty people seem to want to be for. If they get someone like Jason Chaffetz to be the Speaker of the House, is he going to be able to lead the House? And what then happens? So what I want to do is try to be constructive about this, because it's clear to me that the moderate center of the Republican Party is not in concert with the people. It's not, their candidates aren't getting the traction that they thought they would. They've invited people in like Donald Trump because they can't seem to engage with the left on any issue at all. And what you're left with in the House, at least, I don't know how many Tea Party senators there are, but there's 40 people in the House who are roughly part of the free, quote, Freedom Caucus, unquote. And what I've always said to people in the Tea Party is if you want a victory in the House, then you've got to have more reinforcements. So you've got to elect more of these kinds of House members. And that requires, you know, organization, and it requires a lot more than that. I've now come to the point where not only do I think the moderates are breaking down in terms of their ability to lead because they're losing traction with the American people. Remember, they were right. They said in the last election cycle that they wanted to allow their candidates to be free to pursue more moderate lines of campaign. And they had a very, very good 2014 cycle, right? I mean, it was a historic Republican wave election. To a lesser extent, you could argue that that was true in the state of Minnesota because they, quote unquote, let these guys go to run whatever kind of campaign they felt was necessary in their individual districts in order to get elected. The most they could muster was control of the House. They couldn't get control of the Senate, and they couldn't win the governorship. But anyway, so that gives you some idea. I just think the moderates are out of touch with what people on the right are saying. Here's the problem with all that, and this is where I see the moderate arguments. There doesn't seem to be any form to the quote-unquote... I don't even know what to call it. I don't want to call it a Tea Party caucus. I don't want to call it a Freedom caucus. I don't want to call it libertarian because most of the time when you go out and speak to these groups, they're not necessarily libertarian. I don't know what to call it, and I think... this is the problem. So this is the problem. And not only do I think the moderates, to continue that thought, are starting to break down, I think the Republican Party is breaking down. And I think Trump's candidacy, actually, and the success of Trump's candidacy so far, and actually the success of Ben Carson's candidacy so far, suggests to me that the most active people in Republican politics are not moderates. Such as they are. It's if you wanted to listen to what David Corn wrote and or what I said before David Corn wrote it, which is if you look at the rank and file of the Republican Party, you're going to find a lot of confused people because these different groups just don't mix. You know, it used to be the big tent Republican thing was fine, but the big tent ism isn't an ism anymore. So what you have is a breakdown of philosophy. And I think it's going to become very apparent here relatively quickly, unless events intervene, that the Republican Party is really kind of losing its grip, which is sad if you're looking to see a Republican elected president or if you are, you know, a strong, you know, sort of mid-range moderate Republican. It's a sad thing to face. But I think you're looking at the possibility of a loss of majority status in the Senate. You know, the possibility that you could lose a majority status in the House and that the Republican Party would lose the presidency. And what's left are these two groups that seem to fight each other, three groups that seem to fight each other, or two groups that fight each other with one of them in the middle throwing their support to one side or the other, which is a disaster. It's a love triangle. It's a Republican love triangle. And I think what has to happen is that I used to say, well, it's a question of organization. And I still think it's a question of organization, but I think it goes far deeper than that because there is no real standard bearer for the Freedom or Tea Party caucus. I suppose you could say Ted Cruz is the standard bearer, but I don't see anybody out there with real political talent who is the kind of person that can rise to the top of the Republican Party, pull these groups together, become president, and lead the party and the country in the direction it needs to go in. And I think what has to happen for people on the right is that there's a whole drawing back to the drawing board kind of feeling in a big way, like break the drawing board and start over. And I think the questions that need to be asked is, well, how do you create a movement? You know, what do you start with? And I think you have to start with philosophy. I think you have to know what you believe in, to know what the academic and the philosophical underpinnings of what you believe in are. And you have to have people that you can look to quote and to read and to understand. And I don't think it's the Constitution or John Adams. You know, I read tonight, somebody wrote a book about how they paid off the debt in the 1830s. And it's a, you know, the conclusion of the book is that Keynesian economics, you know, it's ridiculous. But one of the things that's interesting about the book is that it talks about how Jackson paid off the debt. And that John Quincy Adams, who defeated Jackson in, what, 1824 or something, was one of these guys who wanted to invest in infrastructure and increase the debt of the United States. And you know, these guys were Federalists. And so when I hear these constitutionalists talking about John Adams and Washington and everything, they seem to miss the point that they were actually Federalists. So they would be Democrats today because they would be people who believed in large government. Adams wanted to do all these projects like the canal and things of that nature. And Jackson said the country doesn't need that. And Jackson was really, in a certain way, even though he was sort of the first modern Democrat, Jackson was really like Reagan in the sense that he wanted to cut the budget and eliminate federal debt. I think that's fascinating. You know, the debt had been compiled over the years by Louisiana Purchase and by war, the War of 1812 and some other things. And here we have the Adams family who are revered in constitutional circles. I mean, I love the story of John Adams, but if you look at them in terms of Federalists versus Anti-Federalists, you know, Republicans, Libertarian Republicans today are really Anti-Federalists. And moderate Republicans are actually Federalists. They're actually people who believe in big government. To a certain extent, the thing starts to break down when you get to foreign policy, because how do you incorporate what kind of foreign policy fits in with anti-Federalist ideas? We have to think about that stuff. And I think we have to develop a whole new idea, a whole new philosophy that isn't reliant on social issues to generate evangelical workers and evangelical door knockers and evangelical envelope stuffers and callers and things of that nature, but that can have a wider appeal for people who are concerned about NSA surveillance. Quite interesting that one of the factors in the McCarthy thing supposedly is there are allegations that he was involved in an affair, and it supposedly was a post on a Wikipedia page that came from Homeland Security. It won't be the first time the CIA or Homeland Security was used. You'll recall that just this year, the CIA hacked into Dianne Feinstein's computers. Because the White House, and there was no connection to the White House, supposedly, but the concern was that she was, against some policy that the executive branch had. So there's a lot of things swirling around. If you're concerned about government overreach, then, you're an anti-federalist. And so I think what has to happen is that really the whole right side of the political spectrum really has to start over and get rid of. We need to throw away the whole reactionary. We want to do what we want to have protests and do all this stuff and march through the streets like the left did 40 years ago and everything else. I think the whole movement has to just stop and reset in a huge way. If it expects to lead, because there's no standard bearer. There's no person in Congress that's going to rise and be a phenomenal speaker. Now, is it possible that Chaffetz could be a great speaker? Sure, you know, he could do well. I think it's going to end up being someone like Paul Ryan, if it isn't Paul Ryan, because I think that's the only way that they're going to salvage this thing. And there's always the possibility that the Republicans could go to the Democrats and elect some speaker who is amenable to both the moderate Democrats and the Republicans. That's, you know, certainly. So then the 40 Freedom Caucus guys would be SOL because they wouldn't have been part of the vote anyway. So I don't think there are enough of them to constitute leadership. So then you get back into, well, who are the rank and file of these groups, these freedom groups across the country? And I think that's the real question. I see a lot of people who want rhetorical solutions. I see a lot of people who don't understand particularly well how the government actually works. I see a lot of people who seem to want to have things return to the way it used to be, but I'm not sure it was that way when it was. I see a lot of people who are still upset about gay marriage and still upset about the things that animated parts of the Republican Party 40 years ago, and still talk about Reagan as though Reagan were alive and had just finished his presidency. And I think something new has to happen and new standard bearers have to be found to lead this group. But it isn't going to happen overnight. And I guess that's the whole thing that I've arrived at watching this sort of circus going on with the presidential elections, which I have to blame the RNC for. And now the situation in Washington with the leadership, which I have to blame the moderates for, that they've lost control of what's going on. They're losing control of the process because they don't really have any ideas. But then you go out and you say, well, what are the ideas of the Freedom Caucus? And that's where, you know, a lot of work needs to be done about what those ideas are. And they don't necessarily have to be ideas that are attractive to Democrats. I hate hearing that. You know, well, Republicans need to figure out how to attract Democrats. I don't think so. I don't agree with that. But I think we need new ideas about economics. We need new ideas about foreign policy. We still, you know, people on the right still don't have a cogent foreign policy. Or an idea of where it needs to come from or how it needs to be formulated. I think there needs to be new ideas on how the government is funded and how, if one wants to limit the power of the federal government and reduce the size of the federal government, how is that going to be done? How are those votes going to be taken in the House, and how many people, and in the Senate, how many people in both houses are you going to need to pull that off? And I think there needs to be a Republican president or a Republican candidate who can be the standard bearer, who has the intellectual heft and the ability to communicate, that really understands these issues and can argue these issues. And I don't see that person. It's not Carly Farina. I don't know. Is it Ted Cruz? Maybe. I don't think so, but it could be. It's going to take someone of a certain stature. And I guess I'll just close with, you know, my son just is out in California, and he took a trip to the Reagan library because he's doing some media of his own. He has this thing called the Millennial Project, and he's trying to do a piece on the Republicans. And he went to the Reagan Library. And he called me and he said, you know, I didn't realize how much Reagan really knew and how much of an intellect he was. And his takeaway from the Republican thing, from the Reagan thing, was that, you know, he was different because he formulated his own ideas and his own concepts about politics. He didn't necessarily, he studied von Mises, and he studied and talked with people like Rothbard and Barry Goldwater. And I keep mentioning those, but there are others, Henry Hazlitt, Friedman, who turned out to be a statist anyway, but that's a long story. You know, he actually talked with and spent time studying what those people wrote about and what they said, and formulated his own ideas, some of which would not be very popular today. I don't think that there's that type of leader in the Republican Party right now. I don't see them at the congressional level. I don't see them at the state level. And again, you know, I do a lot of stuff about where are we in history. So I'm not quite sure where we are on a timeline if you were to compare the two. But I don't know what, and I don't, I'm speaking before we know what's going to happen with the House leadership issue. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out, particularly this Wikipedia thing with McCarthy. But I think the Republicans are in trouble. I think they're in trouble because they've carried out and they've really watered down these ideas that animated conservatives in the 1960s. And they need to figure out a new way to talk about those issues. We need to come up with new ideas for a new platform and a new movement. And you won't have, Ted Cruz said the other day, we have to have a grassroots movement. And that's fine, but there's not going to be any grassroots movement until there are ideas that people besides the standard Republican rank and file can rally around. And I don't mean reaching out to Democrats. I just mean ideas that actually make sense, that resonate with people today. And I haven't seen the kind of work that generates the kinds of ideas that build a grassroots movement. They're not going to come from talk radio. They're not going to come from podcasters. They're not going to come, well, they could. They're not going to come from Sean Hannity. They're not going to come from any existing path, because the people running those paths, the people in charge of those paths, aren't going to take the risks that will allow them to find those ideas. You know, I have my own ideas about where those ideas will come from. But I think the thing that people need to start talking about in their meetings is to strip away all of the stuff they've been talking about and stop talking about that and be quiet for a minute and try to figure out what things they think we need to be thinking about and talking about and doing in the 21st century to prepare for the age that is coming. And I don't know what that looks like. I'm perfectly secure in saying that I don't know what that looks like. I think if I told you, here's what we have to do, I think I'd be a fake. I have no idea what we need to do. And I think those are the kinds of things that need to be discussed. And then once those have been discussed, where it comes down to what's important in your community, what's important to you, your community, and then moving up into the state and the federal government and trying to hash that stuff out, you've got to put academic thought behind it, and you've got to find sources, and you've got to figure out legal ideas. And then you have to find people who can sign on to those ideas and fight for them. And to articulate them in ways that people will find appealing. That's a huge challenge. And I just don't see the Republican Party rising to that challenge, which is why people like John Boehner and moderate Republicans, who are essentially big government Republicans, just like big government Democrats, this is why we say they're rhinos, or it's one party, it's a uniparty, because these new ideas aren't filtering through to the base. And so it has to start with the base. And, you know, I'd love to hear people's thoughts on that. But I don't see it nationally. And I think it's going to be a real problem going forward. This could be the best possible year that Republicans will have in a long time to elect a president. You're talking about a considerably weakened candidate in the Democratic Party, and you're talking about a considerably weakened Democratic Party as well. And, you know, the economy and the foreign policy issues may actually go with the Republicans, and they may yet fail because they can't seem to find people who can articulate, you know, what a real Republican or right-wing political philosophy is. So we'll have to see. Now, on the other hand, you could say, well, this thing with Kevin McCarthy really reflects a victory. It's a victory by, you know, you should be happy. This is a victory by the Freedom Caucus, and they should be celebrated for this. And, you know, I guess it is. If you follow the idea that if no one else can have her, we're going to deny it, then maybe they are successful, and maybe they will put Chaffetz in there or someone like that who will do a brilliant job as Speaker and fight the fight and do well. It's all, you know, that's also possible. And maybe this platform and this idea and this movement will come from that. Right now, I don't see it coming from the rank and file, because I think that they're very steeped in old ideas. And unless we throw those old ideas away and start over and figure out where the new ideas are going to come from and why they're necessary, I don't see that happening. So I'm not saying it's not going to happen. But, you know, we're going to have an election tomorrow in the political world, the election. If you're an organizer, if you're building campaigns and so forth, the election, November, whatever it is, 2nd, 2016, that's happening tomorrow, you know, in political time. These guys are scrambling to put these campaigns together. They don't have time to work on, building, a movement and creating a movement from the ground up. And there's yet many people who still can't even figure out who they want to work for as a candidate. So there's no organization. And without an organization, you can't have a grassroots movement. And without a philosophy, you can't have a organization. So it's an endless circle. So the Republicans have to start over, I believe. And we'll just have to see how it plays out. Don't forget, podcast 423, sponsored by prideofhomes.com. This is a husband, wife, licensed real estate agent team and real estate investors with expertise to share with you. So take a moment and reach out to Eric and Aram Lucero of prideofhomes.com and Luke Team Real Estate, 763-433-9100, 763-433-9100 in the North Metro. I'm rushing because I don't want to go on too much longer. Click on the banner at the top of the Bob Davis podcast, and it takes you to their page, or you can call them. And thanks once again to Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Don't forget to have him come check your heating to make sure it works right, and talk about making it more efficient with smart tech upgrades. You can save a lot of money. Don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating in the East Metro, 651-224-4771. In the West Metro, 612-927-6488. They go to the suburbs. You've seen their trucks all over the place. Ryan Plumbing and Heating. And thanks, Greg Ryan, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast. Also, the digital sponsors of the Bob Davis Podcast, Alpha Systems. Where is my Alpha Systems information? Where is my Alpha? There it is. Thanks to Alpha Systems. I have a lot of pilots listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, and if you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, we want you to be safe on takeoffs and landings. Alpha Systems can help with that. They make the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. It should be part of your avionics package. The bottom line is Alpha Systems AOA saves lives. It's now FAA approved. Click on the Alpha Systems banners for more information about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at thebobdavispodcast.com. Okay, thanks again for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast. Thanks for donating. We're getting ready for winter ops, which means that we're getting ready for diesel fuel and things of that nature and figuring out where I want to go. And I really, really, really appreciate the contributions and the donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. Check out the audio book. I told you about that in a previous podcast. And thank you for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, or TuneIn, and liking and sharing on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and everything else, all the big social media outlets. And thanks for subscribing as well at thebobdavispodcast.com.